بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. This is Islam, an insight into the world's fastest growing religion. By Fahd Salim Bahammam. The true reality of worship in Islam. Does God need our worship? God does not need our worship or our good deeds. Indeed, salvation in Islam cannot be achieved with mere rituals, formalities, and financial contributions. Rather, it can be attained with one's degree of truthfulness and faith in God, which must be translated into reality by refining oneself and one's character and striving to serve society. The Quran, in chapter 51, verses 56 to 58, says, in the meaning of which, I have created the jinn and mankind to worship me. I do not require any provision from them, and I do not require them to nourish me. Truly God is the provider, the Lord of power, the ever mighty. When some people wondered as to what the right direction of the prayer was, since Muslims must face Mecca in prayer, a few Quranic verses were revealed to Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. The revelation stressed that the true reality of religion lies in sincerity of faith, doing righteous deeds and benefiting humankind, not simply facing the East or the West in their prayer. The Quran states, in the meaning of which, righteousness does not consist in whether you face towards the East or the West. The righteous are those who believe in God and the last day and the angels and the book and the prophets, who, though they love it dearly, give away their wealth to relatives, to orphans, to the destitute, to the traveler in need, and to beggars, and for the redemption of captives, who attend to their prayers and pay the prescribed charity, who are true to their promises and steadfast in trial and adversity and in times of war. Such are the true believers. Such are the God-fearing. Quran chapter 2, verse 177. The Quran further stresses that those who strive in matters of worship and devoutness actually do so for their own benefit. Those who reject Islam are the true losers, for God is self-sufficient and does not stand in need of anyone. As the Quran states, in the meaning of which, whoever strives hard in God's cause does so only for his own good, for verily God does not stand in need of any of his creatures. Quran chapter 26, verse 6. When some people asked about and wondered as to what the right direction of the prayer should be, a few Quranic verses were revealed to Prophet Muhammad, stressing that the true reality of religion lies in sincerity of faith, doing righteous deeds, and benefiting humankind, not just in facing the East or the West in their prayer. I'm just repeating this note. The pillars of Islam. These are the most important prescribed acts of worship in Islam. They are as follows. 1. Firmly and sincerely believing and worshipping God and accepting to follow His Messenger Muhammad, may peace and a blessing be upon him. In Arabic, the basic formula, the declaration of faith, Shahada, is said this way. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The English translation is, I declare there is no God except Allah, God, and I declare that Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is the first pillar, or the first pillar of Islam, which is very important for anybody if he wants to enter into Islam. Two, performing the prescribed prayers. See page 100. We're going to go to this later on. Three, paying the prescribed zakat, alms. See page 104. Fasting during the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of Islamic lunar. See page 106. The prescribed charity zakat is the third one, and the fourth one is fasting during the month of Ramadan, the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. See page 106. The fifth one is undertaking the journey to Allah's sacred mosque in Mecca, Hajj or pilgrimage for those who can afford it and are physically able. You may see page 108. We're going to go over this. Why moral responsibility and afflictions? The following question is repeatedly asked, albeit in different forms. How is it that God has given us a mouth, teeth, and a stomach, among other things, so we can eat, and yet commands us to fast? How is it that He has created beauty and lust, and then orders us to lower our gaze and preserve our chastity? One may perhaps audaciously ask, why does He give us strength and then forbid us from assaulting and oppressing others? Indeed, this issue is absolutely clear from an Islamic perspective. According to Islam, God has given us such faculties and abilities to control and not to be controlled. To illustrate, God has given us horses to ride and control, not for it to control us. As a matter of fact, our bodies and strength were created to serve us, so we can ride them, restrain them, and use them at the appropriate times and places, and not the other way around. Hence, the real worth of man and his supremacy lies in his ability to control his whims and desires and to use such faculties in useful ways. In this way, God has distinguished man and prepared him to be put to the test. This is indeed the reason why Allah created us in the first place. As the Quran says, in the meaning of which, we have created man from the union of the two sexes, so that we may put him to the proof. We have endowed him with hearing and sight. We have shown him the way, whether he be grateful or ungrateful. Quran chapter 76 verses 2 and 3. Thus all the afflictions, calamities and suffering to which we are subjected as humans actually constitute an additional test for us to boost our spiritual and moral growth. It is designed to increase our faith and recall our goal and our position in this life. As the Quran states, in the meaning of which, we shall test your steadfastness. We shall test your steadfastness by afflicting you in some measure with fear and hunger and decrease of wealth and loss of lives and scarcity of fruits. Give good news to those who endure with fortitude, who in adversity say, we belong to God, or we belong to Allah, and to Him we shall return. Quran chapter 2 verses 155 and 156. Man's real worth and merit lies in his ability to control his whims and desires and in using such faculties in useful ways. This life, therefore, provides an opportunity for us to progress or regress in matters of faith and morals. Allah Almighty gives us constant opportunities to follow the path of righteousness and mend our ways. He does not compel us. Instead, He gives us free will to make choices in our lives and instructs us to develop earth, build a civilization, and benefit humanity. Despite all this, He urges us to turn to Him and mend our ways whenever we fall into error or make a mistake. Prophet Muhammad, may peace and a blessing be upon him, said in this respect, were you not to commit sins, Allah would replace you with a people who would commit sins and then seek forgiveness from Allah. and Allah would certainly forgive them. This is found in Muslim, hadith number 2749. Prayer. You may have already wondered about the strange scene you yourself have witnessed in person or seen in the media, where one or more Muslims move in a specific direction and then engage in taking standing, bowing, and prostrating postures and look as though they were cut off from the world around them. What is then the Muslim prayer? The prayer occupies a position of the very highest significance in Islam because it is the most important way to be close to Allah and to pray and submit to Him. God or Allah orders Prophet Muhammad, may peace and a blessing of Allah be upon him, and God orders Prophet Muhammad, peace and a blessing of Allah be upon him, and all Muslims to prostrate in a prayer and draw near to him in chapter 96, verse 19. It is for this reason that it is considered the second pillar of Islam after the declaration of faith. Prophet Muhammad, peace and a blessing of Allah be upon him, said Islam is built on five pillars, testifying that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, performing the prescribed prayers, paying the prescribed charity, zakat, making the pilgrimage to the sacred house, and fasting in Ramadan. This is found in Al-Bukhari, hadith number 8. Islam teaches that a Muslim is rewarded for his prayer commensurate with the effort he makes in purifying his heart, keeping distractions away by concentrating in his prayer, sincerely demonstrating total humility before Allah and feeling closeness to Him. Such a state allows him to experience peace and tranquility in his presence. Indeed, the prayer was the source of Prophet Muhammad's greatest joy. Hence, the Quran instructs Muslims to perform the prayer by engaging the entire body as well as the heart, the mind, and the spirit, and not restricted to physical movements. If performed in this way, it will surely be the best means for doing good and keeping away from sins and wrongdoings. Therefore, remembrance of Allah and turning to Him is the best thing one can possibly do. As the Quran states, recite what has been revealed to you of the book and establish the prescribed prayer. Surely prayer restrains one from indecency and evil, and remembrance of God is greater, and remembrance of God is greater still. Allah knows what you do. Quran chapter 29 verse 45. Those who assume that the prayer is confined to physical exercise preceded by ablution and cleanliness have indeed failed to realize that this set of actions and litany of short recited passages and phrases in which Allah is praised are actually means of extolling Allah and recognizing His greatness. For instance, the phrase the worshipper speaks as he stands in reverence and humility in prayer while raising his hands is Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. Then he bows, showing total humility before God or before Allah and recognizing His greatness, stating, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, glory be to my Lord, the Almighty. Then he prostrates himself, seeking nearness to his Lord and cherisher, and his response to his prayers by placing his knees, hands, forehead, and nose on the floor, stating, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, glory be to my Lord and cherisher, the Most High. Thus, all the acts of prayer are not simply movements and murmurs in a state. They are very meaningful moments that link the believer to his Lord and cherisher and creator from whom he derives his happiness and his very existence. Allah commands Muslims to pray five times a day at predetermined times. They may perform such prayers anywhere, but He urges them to do so in mosques to strengthen the community bonds, deepen their relationships, and help one another in religious and worldly matters. The prayer was the source of Prophet Muhammad's greatest joy. He also urges Muslims to engage in optional prayers as much as possible. Muslims pray in the direction of the Kaaba, a cube-shaped building located inside the Holy Mosque in Mecca in the western part of the Arabian Peninsula. The Kaaba was originally constructed by the father of prophets, a reference to Abraham, peace be upon him, and all prophets made pilgrimage to it. Contrary to popular belief, the Kaaba is a stone structure that can neither do harm nor good, but Allah commands the Muslims to face it during the prayer to serve as a focal and unifying point among them. The Muslim call to prayer, the Adhan. The Adhan is the Muslim call to prayer which notifies Muslims that the time of the prescribed prayer has begun and prompts them to come to the mosque. It is a form of remembering and revering Allah as well as preparing Muslims to attend the prayer in the mosque. Its sequence is as follows. 1. Allah is a greater. Allah is a greater. Allah is a greater. Allah is a greater. 2. I declare that there is no God but Allah. I declare that there is no God but Allah. 3. I declare that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. I declare that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. 4. Come to prayer. Come to prayer. 5. Come to eternal success. Come to eternal success. 6. Allah is greater. Allah is greater. 7. There is no God but Allah. The prescribed charity, zakat. It is everyone's conviction that there should be a solution to the dichotomy of extreme wealth and abject poverty, the gap between the rich and the poor, and the decline and disintegration of society leads members into a life of increased vices and crimes. Countless attempts have been made by economic systems, ideological trends, and government laws in order to solve this problem. How does Islam deal with it? Islam requires wealthy Muslims to pay 2.5% of their accumulated annual wealth, that is in excess of their personal possessions, to the poor and the needy. This duty is its third pillar. This prescribed charity is paid by the rich not as a favor to the poor, but because it is the right of the poor to be from the excess wealth of the rich. This process allows charity to be given without making the poor feel impelled to ask the rich or subjecting him to disgrace. This minimum amount is all that wealthy Muslims are required to spend. As for the maximum amount, Islam has afforded them many opportunities to compete with one another and spend on various good causes. This results in attaining more wealth, health, success, and happiness in this life, and in the hereafter, they will find ample rewards and eternal bliss. The Quran likens those who spend their wealth in God's way like a grain that grows into 7 ears with 100 grains in each, which are then multiplied up to 700 times. Allah increases their reward. To those who act with sincerity and good intentions, and those who spend their wealth for the good, He is extremely generous, and He has full knowledge of people's intentions. The likeness of those who spend their wealth in God's way is as the likeness of a grain, which grows 7 ears, and every ear 100 grains. Allah gives increase manifold to whom He wills. Allah is munificent and all-knowing. Quran chapter 2 verse 261. The Quran also informs us that giving charity to the poor and the needy actually purifies the benefactor's heart from selfishness and greed. It says, take zakat from their wealth to purify and cleanse them with it. Quran chapter 9 verse 103. It further informs us that those whose stinginess prevents them from spending their wealth and helping the poor will be the real losers, for by so doing, they actually deprive themselves of happiness in this world and bliss in the hereafter. The Quran says, here are you. Here are you. The Quran says, here are you, called upon to spend in God's cause, and among you are some who are niggardly and he who is niggardly is but niggardly against his own soul. But Allah is rich, and you are poor. And if you turn your backs, he will substitute another people in your stead, then they will not be like you. Quran chapter 47, verse 38. The implementation of this great Islamic duty helps realize the concept of social security and relative equality among members of society. By giving out zakat to those entitled to it, financial wealth ceases to build up in a few hands in society. It is for this reason that history tells us the early Muslims would more often than not look for the poor and the needy to pay zakat to them, but would not find any. Allahu Akbar. Paying zakat nurtures feelings of affection, harmony, and fosters community cohesion. Because people generally have a disposition to like those who do them a good turn, members of the Muslim society become increasingly close-knit, that they resemble bricks of a building supporting one another. Crimes such as theft and robbery tend to decrease under such circumstances. Just reminders, the prescribed charity or zakat is paid by the rich not as a favor to the poor, but because it is the poor's right that is taken from the wealth of the rich without making the former feel impelled to ask the latter or subjecting them to disgrace. Also, the Quran likens those who spend their wealth thereby seeking his good pleasure to a grain that grows into 7 ears with 100 grains in each ear, which are then multiplied up to 700 times. Fasting. We all admire those who control themselves and refrain from eating or avoiding certain types of food to maintain good health, lose weight, or to stay in compliance with the doctor's advice. We always consider their ability to control their desires for a greater and more important goal a major achievement. In fact, when Muslims fast, they achieve greater outcomes than that. By observing a fast, they discipline themselves to bring their desires under control and comply with the orders of Allah, the best of judges. The Prophet of Islam once stated that a person would never benefit from his fast if he does not mend his ways and become a better person after fasting. Fasting, siyam or sawm in Arabic, is the fourth pillar of Islam. A fasting person is required to abstain from all food, drink, and sexual activity with his spouse from dawn until sunset during the entire month of Ramadan, which is the 9th month of the Islamic lunar calendar. The Quran informs us that fasting was prescribed for the previous nations, albeit in different ways at times. The objective behind fasting is the same, which is to attain righteousness, be conscious of Allah, and express true worship and total submission to Him. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, just as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may remain conscious of Allah. Quran chapter 2, verse 183. When a Muslim overcomes the lawful desires of the body, by abstaining from them for hours a day, he becomes his own master and capable of controlling himself and avoiding desires that are impermissible under all circumstances. It is for this reason that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, once said that a person would never benefit from his fast if he does not mend his ways and become a better person after fasting. He also said, a person who does not desist from deceitful speech and actions while fasting must know that Allah is not in need of him leaving his food and drink. Al-Bukhari, hadith number 1804. Fasting or siyam or sawm is the 5th pillar of Islam. Remember this. A fasting person is required to abstain from all food and drink and sexual activity with his spouse from dawn until sunset during the month of Ramadan. Ramadan falls on the 9th month of the Islamic lunar calendar. The pangs of hunger and thirst that Muslims experience while fasting has an important purpose. It makes them realize the severe effects of such pains on the poor and the needy, who might be deprived of the essentials of life for a long period of time and undergo extreme hunger and thirst. This feeling provides Muslims with the greatest incentive to come to their aid. By commanding Muslims to fast, Islam aims to remind its adherents of the pangs of hunger and thirst that the poor and the needy experience. The pilgrimage, Hajj. Most religions include the components of a spiritual journey whereby the faithful earnestly implore their Creator and express their devotion to Him. However, of all the journeys in the world, the annual Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca stands out due to the sheer magnitude of its size and scope. Every year, more than 3 million Muslims flock to Mecca, where they gather to perform the pilgrimage rites. What exactly is pilgrimage in Islam? Hajj, the annual Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca, is the fifth pillar of Islam. This duty must be undertaken by every able-bodied Muslim who can afford to do so at least once in his lifetime. It is a remarkable journey whereby distinctions of social class, nationality, race, dress, and wealth disappear. All pilgrims don the same color garb and chant. All pilgrims don the same color garb and chant with an earnest heart, the same words, and chant with an earnest heart, the same words, embodying the true reality of the relationship between man and his Lord and Cherisher. These words translate as follows: Here I am at your service, O Allah. Here I am at your service, O Allah. There is no partner with you. Here I am at your service. All praise and all bounty belong to you. All dominion is yours, and you have no partner. Despite the various rituals Muslims perform during this journey of faith and the diverse supplications they recite, they are all meant to remember Allah. The purpose is to be conscious of Him, of Allah, to demonstrate their need for Allah, and to ask forgiveness and rewards from Allah. Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, once observed going around the Kaaba and walking between the hills of Safa and Marwa, of Safa and Marwa, have only been prescribed to remember Allah. Ibn Abi Shayba, hadith number 15,334. So the person who travels to Mecca with the intention of performing the pilgrimage or Hajj takes off his ordinary clothing and puts on two plain pieces of clothing to declare his submission to Allah and to feel equal to fellow pilgrims despite their different worldly ranks. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah.